Welcome to American Soundways. I'm your host, Trip Clark. In the next hour, we'll take a look at the musical contributions of a steel town, America's first professional songwriter, and a would-be blues legend whose local recording gained international attention. We'll talk with folk alternative rock artist Michelle Schacht, and then we'll listen to and speak with a few very talented local artists. That's all coming up on American Soundways. When you think of a city that represents true American industrialization, what do you think of? If I also said that this city was once known as the Smoky City, how about now? What if I said that second only to Venice, Italy, this city has more bridges than any city in the world? All right, last clue. What if I said that musically, it's produced some of the greatest and most influential musicians and songwriters the world has ever seen? If you're still scratching your head, I'm talking about Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, established in the mid-1700s when the British overtook the French at the confluence of the Allegheny, Monongahela, and Ohio rivers. Let's take a listen to a song that has a connection to Pittsburgh, and then later we'll tie it all together. Here's former lead singer for the Staple Singers, Mavis Staples, on American Soundways.
Let us pause in life's pleasures and count its many tears while we all sup sorrow with the poor. There's a song that will linger forever in our ears. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis a song, the sigh of the weary. Hard times come again no more. Many a days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times come again no more.
During the 1800s, Pittsburgh became a literal hotbed of industrialization for the world, producing aluminum, glass, iron, and of course, steel. American biographer James Parton once described Pittsburgh as hell with the lid off. At that time, immigrants from European countries flocked to Pittsburgh to help fill the tremendous need for workers in the mills. The music of the immigrant neighborhoods and courtyards was abundant. Diversity spawned a new generation of music. Some that reflected the bleak reality of life in this land of opportunity. Labor songs would eventually weave their way into the repertoire, Songs like The Plight of the Miner's Widow, The Factory Slave, and Oh, Let the Girls Sit Down were tuneful protests to the lousy working conditions of many of the workers. It was July 4th, 1826, the same day the nation was celebrating her 50th birthday, when one of the world's greatest songwriters was born. No, Paul McCartney isn't that old. In 1826, Stephen Collins Foster became the ninth child born to a middle-class family from Pittsburgh. Foster was writing songs at the age of 14 and being published by the age of 18. His musical influences ranged from European folk songs to songs of praise from the black churches. Even though minstrel songs were the popular form of music of the day, Foster found them to be ignorant and vulgar in their treatment of blacks. He wanted his audience to feel compassion for slaves and to treat blacks with more dignity than was customary for the time. In fact, Stephen Foster was the first white songwriter to refer to a black woman in a song as a lady. Additionally, Stephen Foster's songs frequently dealt with people's longing for home and of loved ones.
The sun shines bright in the old Kentucky home. 'Tis summer and everyone's gay.
In 1849, Stephen Foster wrote a song that would forever weave him into the fabric of American culture. Susanna, better known as Oh Susanna, became symbolic to the pioneering 49ers heading west in search of gold and new opportunity. Even today, more than 140 years after his death, contemporary artists continue to pay homage to this great American songwriter. In 2005, American Roots Publishing released a tribute to Stephen Foster. Participating were such diverse musicians as Roger McGuinn, John Prine, Alison Krauss and Yo-Yo Ma, and Michelle Schacht and Pete Anderson, to name just a few. I recently had a chance to talk with Michelle Schacht about Stephen Foster and her involvement in the project. But first, let's listen to Oh Susanna from the Beautiful Dreamer CD. Here's Michelle Schacht and Pete Anderson on American Soundways.
Thank you.
Michelle Schacht, welcome to American Soundways.
Thank you so much.
Michelle, you contributed to a song to the Grammy Award-winning album Beautiful Dreamer, the songs of Stephen Foster. How did you get involved with the project?
It was initiated by a group called American Roots Publishing, who are going back to make sure that the canon of the great American masters is not being left behind as history continues to move forward. And I've got a few different interesting connections to that kind of a project, one of which is my my studies and explorations, mostly through my husband, my ex-husband, I should say, and his work with blackface minstrelsy.
Because I noticed you also, you did another, on your Arkansas Traveler, you did Jump Jim Crow with Taj Mahal, another song from that minstrel era. Is there something that you find intriguing about the music of that era?
Well, it's kind of evocative for me of that quote that if you don't know history, you're condemned to repeat it. And while repeating a Stephen Foster song is definitely nothing like condemnation, sometimes it's important to understand the history of those roots, a lot of which Foster himself struggled with in his lifetime.
If I could just take a step back, on that song you collaborated with your longtime friend, guitarist Pete Anderson, you know, who contributed to your short, sharp, Schacht release. How was it that Pete became involved in the project?
He and I were both talking to some of the folks at American Roots Publishing about various promotional concerns with our labels. And I think because we'd been in contact with them, we were on their minds. And then, you know, it wasn't too hard putting the two thoughts together.
And how did you select the Stephen Foster song that you wanted to perform?
I think it was one of Pete's choices. I'm not sure it would have been my first choice, but I was really happy to acquiesce to Pete's choice because I was curious. I wanted to see, it's one of the more, for our times, I should say, it's considered one of the more graceless of the numbers. It is a fun, lively song and very true to the tradition that Foster wrote in, and probably one of his most well-known. I think that might have been a lot to do with our choice. Who doesn't know Oh Susanna?
You experiment with a lot of styles. You know, you traveled a lot growing up, Dallas and Austin, San Francisco, and then Amsterdam. And I'm guessing that the native styles of music from those various places had a lot to do with the diversity of your sound today?
I think that coming from Texas was a very regional and true route for me because music in Texas it's utility music. It's not art. It's not concert hall music. It's utility music. It provides a soundtrack for our lives. And our lives are spent working. And when we work hard. And when we play, we generally tend to dance. And so this whole modern understanding of music by genre is one that I've never really cottoned to because at a dance hall, you basically would do anything it takes to keep the people on their feet.
Right.
And people would grow fairly bored or just, you know, lose their expectancy if you played one genre of music. You can't love a genre enough to have a belly full of it all night long. So that's been a lot of what's instilled in me in my urge to spice and sprinkle and salt and pepper my music with all these different flavors. And I think the minstrelsy stage of Stephen Foster's time was no different. It was the early vaudeville tradition. It was the early variety show tradition that lives on today. People's needs for entertainment hasn't changed that much.
Well, Michelle Schacht, thanks again very much for joining us on American Soundways.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for letting me share my enthusiasm and love about Stephen Foster.
Following the success of Oh Susanna, Foster decided to pass on his exhilarating career as a bookkeeper, and America's first professional songwriter was born. Things seemed to be going well for the young songwriter. But after a series of devastating personal setbacks, including his wife and daughter leaving him, the death of his close friend, and shortly thereafter the death of both his parents, his songwriting pace diminished and his debts mounted. Although enormously popular, Foster was never able to capitalize on the success of his songs due to the virtual non-existence of copyright and publishing protection at the time. He was forced to sell outright all of his publishings and spend his final years alone and in debt. In 1864, Stephen Foster died at the age of 37 with 38 cents in his pocket. In today's world, Stephen Foster would have a music library worth millions. Among his legacy of songs are My Old Kentucky Home, Nellie Was a Lady, Camp Town Races, Oh Susanna, Beautiful Dreamer, and Hard Times Come Again No More, whose version by Mavis Staples we heard at the beginning of the show. Pittsburgh in the early 1900s offered prosperity for some and abysmal working conditions for others. The work was hard, the days were long, and the smoke from the mills filled the skies. Pittsburgh's reputation as a dirty, smoky city even emerged in popular song. In the summer of 1941, Woody Guthrie made a stop in Pittsburgh while traveling across country. What he saw inspired him to write a song entitled Pittsburgh Town, sung here by global humanitarian and folk legend Pete Seeger.
Pittsburgh Town is a smoky old town, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh Town is a smoky old town, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh Town is a smoky old town, solid iron from McKeesport down, Pittsburgh. Lord God, Pittsburgh.
Industrial expansion altered Pittsburgh's African-American community as well. Steel companies had begun recruiting blacks from the Deep South as a result of restrictions that had been placed on immigration. This influx of African-Americans had a tremendous impact on Pittsburgh's musical landscape. Even before that time, Pittsburgh was known as a city with a penchant for ragtime and jazz. Black musicians would travel via riverboat to Pittsburgh along the Ohio River. Before long, Pittsburgh would become home to some of the greatest jazz musicians that ever lived. Like jazz pianist Ahmad Jamal, Earl Fatha Hines, Horace Parlin, Sonny Clark, Dodo Marmarosa, Errol Garner, and often called one of jazz's greatest female musicians, Mary Lou Williams. Other Pittsburgh jazz greats include Billy Eckstine, Art Blakey, Maxine Sullivan, and Roy Eldridge, as well as contemporary artists George Benson and Stanley Turrentine. In the 30s, 40s, and 50s, Pittsburgh musically was on par with Chicago and New York. The effect of Pittsburgh's jazz greats continues to resonate in a young, emerging scene of musicians who cite influences from Art Blakey and the Meters to Frank Zappa and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And they're creating a name for Pittsburgh as a hotspot for this hybrid of funk, soul, rock, jam band, jazz, and hip-hop. One of the hottest is the Poogie Bell Band, led by the veteran jazz drummer Poogie Bell, who's played on or produced projects with David Bowie, Chaka Khan, and Marcus Miller, to name just a few. Other local Pittsburgh bands include Omega Love, Jazzam, CK9 and the Old E All-Stars, Gemini, and the Boogie Hustlers. Stick around and we'll listen to a song from the Boogie Hustlers when we return on American Soundways.